NFR Extra is a podcast dedicated to the Wrangler National Finals Rodeo and features icons and personalities that embody the Western lifestyle.
Definitely comrades, but definitely comrades that we're always battling. It's not like I can go to these little rodeos and go throw 1-7 and get qualified. I got to keep entering until I get the 3-9 or 4-flat, because that was this last year. I think 3-9 was my fastest time, and I was 3-9 at Colville, and I'm like, oh shoot, maybe I'll actually win the steer wrestling. And next guy out's like 3-4. Luckily, my sister called me and needed something, because I didn't want to be the wimp that was like, Cash, I'm getting tired. I think I haven't thrown a steer in a year. And I was like, hey, Cash, it's Jason called. She needs my help. I've got to go. Thanks. But he was about to kill me off, and there was 10, 15 more ahead he was about to run through. And I'm like, I had never told him that he was about to kill me.
This is Brylan Bentley, and you're listening to NFR Extra.
Another great rendition of NFR Extra, and we are joined by a man of many talents, the one and only Josh Frost. Thanks, Josh Frost.
Thanks for having me.
This is going to be fun, because I think what you do and how you do it speaks to a lot of different people. The Linderman Award is one that I think flies under the radar quite a bit. Has that always been something that you have wanted to do since you were young? I mean, has that been a goal of yours?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really know when I would have heard of the Linderman Award, but, you know, probably by the time I was 13, 14, I was following rodeo heavy enough to know what it was and know who was winning it. And so, you know, growing up, I competed in every event as a kid growing up. And so it's kind of was always one of those things I thought it'd be a cool goal to accomplish. And then as I've, you know, gotten older and still love competing in the timed events, it's always one of my top goals every year to try and win it.
I can honestly say this to you, your face now. We were talking behind your back about you. But Brylan, could you do me a favor and read off the accomplishments of Josh Frost?
4-time Linderman Award winner. He has been second place for the last 3 years at the National Finals Rodeo in the world standings as well.
That blows me away, because you are one of those guys, and this is where we were talking about, is with those accomplishments, you're not the big face that I would presume somebody to be of. And Andy Seiler said it best. He's like, yeah, Josh is just the guy that he just grabs his lunchbox and goes back to work. You know, I mean, it's not hunting the glory. It's not doing that sort of a thing. It's just that daily grind of getting there. And, you know, that second place being right there for that many years, it's kind of similar to what we saw with Jess Pope for, you know, I mean, he won the average 3 years in a row and then wins the world. But it seems like you're going to be a guy that we've heard the name of for a long time, that's not in the spotlight, that's not the glamour child of any big Western corporation for their deal, which is baffling to me. But it's going to be one of those things where you pop up and win the world and it's going to be like, who's this guy? And it only took you, you know, 7 years to be an overnight success. So what do you accredit that hard work and determination to?
You know, just I hate losing. Yeah, I'm a very competitive person. And, you know, my story from the get-go, you know, I think I was 24 the first year I made the NFR, and it was just, you know, I wasn't seeing the results I wanted to see. So I had to get back in the practice pen and self-reflect and figure out the things that I wasn't doing well and try to make my weaknesses my strengths. And through the course of doing that, I went from a top 30 bull rider to a top 15 to making my first NFR, bucking off all 10 bulls, and had to get back to work because that was terrible. And then come in, win the average in 2021. And then we've been in the position 3-time reserve world champion. But at the end of the day, nobody remembers who's second. So we're still working really hard and going to get that gold buckle.
So when you go back and you have these times of reflection of what you need to work on, is this just something that you're doing by yourself, or do you have mentorship through this program?
I have mentorship, through my, I'm very blessed with my family. I come from a rodeo family. My brother, a lot of bull riders in the family. And so they help a little bit. And a big part of it too, is just, I look back through the regular season and look and see which types of bulls I struggled with or where the holes in my riding are. And, every year before the NFR, October, November, I really try to dive into those and go and find practice bulls that buck with that style that I struggle with. And like I said, try to get better at the things that caused me to get bucked off. And, through the course of doing that for, if anything, the last 5 years, it's getting to where there's more and more types of bulls that I'm, climbing over the chute and 100% confident that I can ride because I know I've, trained myself and prepared for the challenge.
So do you have a workout program as well, or are you just a straight practice bench sort of a guy?
I work out a lot too. I came up short of making the NFR in 2020, ended up 17th in the world. And I started working out then. And then through the course of that, I fell upon Champion Living, Doug Champion. I've been working with them for 3 years now. And the big part, you do have to be strong to be a bull rider, but the biggest thing I've noticed is my ability to stay healthy. There's no replacement for getting on bulls. I mean, it's the only way to get good at riding bulls is by doing it. But the ability of me to spend the time in the gym has increased the number of bulls I can get on, and my body to still feel good to get better at the skill.
So obviously, depending on the time of year, there's travel and everything else that goes along with it. But what would a recovery regimen, what would that look like for you?
That's something I have been learning, because it turns out sometimes more bulls isn't always better. but the last year or so I've been learning, that was kind of something I really worked on last year, was doing a better job at listening to my body. And in 2022, I pulled my groin in middle of August, was riding better than ever before, was, I sit in second, but I was catching Stetson and ended up pulling my groin. And that was one of them ones, if I would have listened to my body and maybe took 10 days off, I finished August and September really strong, but the old cowboy mentality is toughen up and get on. Well, I pushed a little too hard and ended up pulling my groin. And so I try to really listen to my body now. And whether that means take a couple days off, or, same thing if I got days off at the house, there's nothing wrong with not getting on bulls on those days off, and, maybe doing some more mobility exercises in the gym. And, we also, we run a full blown cattle ranch at the house. So I don't get very many days that I would say is just go and relax. If I'm home, I'm working. And so, sure. But that's right. Also, I think very good recovery is, there's nothing better than getting out and getting some fresh air and pounding some fence posts.
That's what's crazy. You look back in the history of rodeo and where it was, and it was mostly for the most part, all them guys were, rodeo cowboys, were ranchers, were cowboys, and kind of had that cowboy mentality, smoking Marlboros at the beer garden. And now it's drinking kombucha and going to the gym. And that's really changed because, you look at on the bucking horse and on the bucking bull side, particularly, is these bulls are absolutely world class. And so the mentality of, the bull rider now is, you're not going to the beer garden, you're going back and stretching out and going to the gym. But what about your day to day, and how hard is it to maintain that healthy lifestyle when you're on the road?
It's really hard on the road. I mean, you guys have all been to fast food restaurants, and for those of you that don't know, the bull riding is always the last event at the rodeo. So come 10:30 when it's time for dinner, there isn't very many great places left to eat. And so, the big thing I've found on the healthy lifestyle is you can't overthink it. There are days that you might have to have a cheeseburger. It's, eating's better than not eating, in my opinion. But it's one I really try to get my protein intake and try to eat protein with every meal, because that's what helps, helps your body rebuild the muscles, helps you heal when you get banged up. And so just paying attention to the protein and trying to eat as much protein on the road, I've noticed a big difference in how my body feels and my ability to recover and stay healthy.
What's your traveling partners look like? Who do you got in the van with you?
So it's a little crazy this year. The last couple of years I've went with Sage Kimsey, but he switched over to PBR full time this year. And so I've been bouncing around a little bit. I went with Chase Doherty a couple times this winter, but my little brother is riding really good. And so I'm pretty excited. We're planning on probably through the winter. He didn't get in all the big winter rodeos. And so we've kind of been having to balance the schedule this winter, but come probably about April time, we're going to start entering together. And so I'm looking forward to that.
Another frost coming down the pipeline. I like it.
Speaking of another frost coming down the pipeline, I'll jump in and talk about how you may be feeling as the news was just recently released that you are going to become a father.
Yeah, that is another frost coming down the pipeline. We're super excited about it. My wife Erica, it was her rookie year last year in the Breakaway Open, and so she rode pretty hard last year. And usually it's the other way around. It seems like the girl's the one that's hassling the guy wanting to have a baby. But I was kind of getting the baby fever. And so we'd kind of been talking about it for a year or so. And she finally decided she was about as excited as I was. So we've got our little girl due in August, and it's, I guess, next stage of life. But I'm pretty excited about it.
That's awesome.
Peaks on names or anything, or are we holding out on that?
We'll have to hold out on that, but okay. we've been thinking pretty heavy on it. So
okay, all right. When you and your brother were growing up, like, was that a mano-a-mano type deal, or was he kind of a mentor? I'm sure you guys communicate a lot now, and he watches a lot now that he's not competing anymore. But did you guys battle one another, or was it comrades?
Definitely comrades, but definitely comrades that were always battling. me and Joe are 3 years apart, and Jay, my younger brother, he's 6 years younger. And so he probably got it worse than I did. But three boys were pretty hectic on my mom growing up. But from the bull riding point of view, you know, it was always, you know, you always had a practice partner, and we were always pushed each other. You know, he maybe was a little more naturally talented than me, but I probably was tried harder. He tried really hard, but my technique wasn't very good growing up. And so we always laugh when we watch. I'm always amazed that I'm a bull rider still when I watch the home videos, because we just got a collage of Joe making these beautiful practice rides and me just getting wrecked out time after time again. But it was cool having him. Like, he kind of helped pave the way, even from the entering standpoint. You know, I was, even when I was on my permit, he helped me enter, and you know, he'd been to the NFR 3-4 times, and I was getting to go with him already. Whereas a lot of the young guys, it's kind of hard to hop in with a guy that's been to the NFR and let, you know. And so my path to success was different than his. The first year I actually made the NFR was the year I entered myself, but it was cool getting his knowledge and seeing the way he did. You know, there's a lot of things that worked for him that worked for me, but there was certain things that I had to do slightly different. And so it's, like I said, been pretty lucky to have that opportunity to be around somebody like my brother.
Do you still enter yourself?
I still enter myself.
I watched an interview the other day that Stetson, he had mentioned, you know, I'd like to come back as early as possible in Reno, but to be honest, I don't know how to enter myself. So I guess it'll be when my dad says I'm allowed to.
Yeah, no, I was actually listening to that podcast yesterday, and it's and everybody has their a different theory on it. There's certain guys that, you know, the Stetson's really lucky because, you know, Cody Wright, he knew the path. And so why would you change if it's not broken, don't fix it. And Cody sure knows how to get those boys gold buckles and get them to the NFR. But my dad rodeoed, but it was kind of when we turned 18, you know, I used to run my schedule by him a little bit when I first started going, but now it's to the point that I'm the one that's going to be having to make the drives and stuff. And I like doing it myself, and it was cool going, you know, I talked about having Joe entering me, and then I spent several years entering myself. And then the first 2 years I went with Sage, he actually did all the entering. And so it's just cool. Everybody has a different theory and a different plan of how they're going to, you know, be the champion. And And then that was the last year when me and Sage went together, he was like, you know, do you want to enter us this year? And so I kind of knew how he liked to enter, but he turned it over to me and I entered us all year. So.
Are you going to just focus, pardon my ignorance on this deal, but just going bull riding, or are we still focused on, you know, being diverse?
Still being diverse. I probably would already have been entering the calf rope in a little bit. Me and my wife have been in Texas since probably the first week of January, and we had five horses down there. She's still roping a little bit, and I brought two calf horses with me, but I'd been kind of had some problems going on in my back. I had a disc that was hitting a nerve, and so through the course of getting all that sorted out, I haven't actually got to rope any. But as soon as I'm kind of got the cleared already, I've been back to getting on practice bulls this week. And once we get through Houston and stuff, I'll be getting back. Dang sure going to be hunting for the Lenderman Award again. And I always set the goal to make the circuit finals in the calf rope. And so I've got a pretty good calf horse right now. So I'm looking forward to getting back after that.
So that's got to be an entirely different bucket of worms, though, too, because even with like Stetson, right, he's, you know, rough stock. And then so you've got that to where you're somewhat limited on, or it seems like somewhat limited on the entry side of it to where who's going, because, you know, none of the other guys in your truck are going time to vent and rough stock.
So yeah, no, it makes it hard, you know. Even say Joe, I think he thought I was crazy, because half the days he always likes to have one or two days off during the week. So he's, you know, get on 4 to 5 times a week, have 2 days off. Well, those 2 days off, I'd always be entered another rodeo so that I could go and try to get my money for the Lenderman and the steer wrestling calf roping, because it's I usually only enter 10 to 15 of the timed events. And so the last couple of years, you know, once I get my Lenderman money won and get qualified, I've been focusing on winning the gold buckle. And so, you know, that puts me winning about 3,000 in each event. So my qualifications aren't super high, where all these 90% of these rodeos I'm going to and the bull riding, a lot of the times I can't even get in the timed events because I don't have the qualifications. And so I've got to figure out ways to, on my days off that don't conflict with the big rodeos for the bull riding, get to some littler rodeos and the timed events to get my money won there.
So do you have some spots that you kind of pick out that you're like, okay, I have X, Y, and Z on the calendar that fit my schedule that I can also get a timed event check mark with?
Yep. I've kind of learned that through the years, and it always, you know, first couple weeks in June work really good. We've got a bunch of our medium sized circuit rodeos right there that it works really good, because they're all close, you know, 3 hours from the house. And so a lot of the times that's when kind of the Gladewater weather for time. And so I'll usually just go back to Utah, and I've got a circuit guy here that actually does the timed events. And so I'll usually enter with him for about 2.5 weeks and go haul the horse. I've borrowed horses before, but I like riding my own horses. I feel sure. Like I'm more consistent when I'm on my own. And so get to those on my own horses. And then, you know, last two years, I hadn't quite got qualified in the steer wrestling in those 2 weeks. And so I'll, you know, pick out some days during the year that fit in at some of the smaller circuit rodeos that I can get to. And that's usually the times that Sage is taking, or, you know, Sage would be taking 2 days off, and I'm trying to get to Jerome, Idaho, Linden, Washington, Norco, California. And there are rodeos that always see the hit on days that there's nothing else to go ride bulls at. And so I'll always, them have been my last chance qualifiers for the Linderman the last 2 years.
Let's take a quick pause and we'll be right back. The journey is long and difficult. The goal is a PRCA gold buckle. The stage is the Thomas and Mack Center. The backdrop is Las Vegas. The NFR experience is 10 days of the best cowboys and barrel racers combined with a 24/7 party. The biggest stage, the brightest lights, and all are invited. The December tradition, the Wrangler National Finals Rodeo.
The tie down roping in the steer wrestling, that to me is, it seems like over the last few years, especially what we watched through on the junior world final side, but the steer wrestling, there are some absolute studs that are 16 years old that are coming up, and they're jumping in the truck with world champions. And the same thing with the tie down roping, there's a lot of young kids that are coming in there. So that's, I mean, like, you don't have you might have a couple days off of going and bull riding, but as far as the direction that you're going for the tie down and the steer wrestling, that's not like a really weak event where a guy can capitalize off of. It seems like there's some studs coming up.
Yeah, no, it's that there's rodeos in the bull riding that you could call duck off rodeos that, you know, you can, and there's the rare occasion where you see somebody be 78 points and
sure
win a bunch of money, but there's a lot of places you can go in the bull ride. And it's like, hey, this is going to be an easier event. If I go make the whistle, I'm going to get paid.
Right.
There's not very that. And you'll see maybe one a year where there's a 10-second run in the steer wrestle that wins a check, but it seems like I'm never entered at that one. I'm always entered at the one. I mean, I'm consistent in the steer wrestling, but I am a smaller guy to where I make a lot of 5 and 6 second runs, which that doesn't win any money. And so it's not like I can go to these little rodeos and go throw 1 in 7 and get qualified. I got to keep entering until I get the 3.9 or 4 flat, because that was this last year. I think 3.9 was my fastest time, and I was 3.9 at Colville, and I'm like, oh shoot, maybe I'll actually win the steer wrestling. And next guy out's like 3.4, and ended up getting my money qualified. But if you do your job in the bull riding, they almost pay you every single time. The calf roping and steer wrestling, like, you can go. I was 8.6 at San Angelo, and I think I was 24th in the round.
I mean, that is a bad setup. But do you get nervous in the timed events?
Way more nervous in the timed events. Yeah, partially I've competed in the bull ride. I've competed in the bull riding so much more. My mental game's way stronger there. But you'd think my heart would be pounding more getting on a bull, but I'm calm and cool climbing over the back of a bull, but I really have to stay in control of things, because I get in the box and that calf rope, and I'm all heart rates through the roof, adrenaline's pounding. And
so how much do you get to practice for that? I mean, I know you're talking about keeping your horses tuned up, but how much do you get to practice in tie down and steer wrestling?
You know, not a lot in the steer wrestling, just because it's not been economical to necessarily keep steer wrestling steers at the house, where I'm, you know, I might be home 25 to 30 days through the whole season. But with the calf rope, and I get to practice that a lot more. We've always got tie down calves at the house with my wife and sister, and they both breakaway rope a bunch. And so we have always got calves to rope, you know, and so I do practice the tie down roping quite a bit. It's one of those ones, if I'm home, I'm usually roping calves every single day. But like I said, the steer wrestling's been a little harder to. I had steers probably up till 3 years ago, and that was kind of when my dad was like, hey, like, if you're never home to practice, I'm not going to keep feeding these things. But Cash Rob lives about 45 minutes from me, and so usually when I'm getting ready to enter, I'll go up and 2-3 times a week before I'm entered up and go and steer wrestle with him and get a little practice in and some pointers. So
that's who I had in my mind when I was talking about the studs coming up, is that Cash Rob is an absolute monster.
Oh, and just like, and hungry for it. Like, one day I'd went there and we were shoot dogging, just practicing on the ground. And luckily my sister called me and needed something, because I didn't want to be the wimp that was like, Cash, I'm getting tired. I think I haven't thrown a steer in a year. But I was like, hey, Cash, Jason called. She needs my help. I've got to go. Thanks. But he was about to kill me off. And there was 10, 15 more ahead he was about to run through. And I'm like, I never told him that he was about to kill me, but like I said, that's him every day. He's out there and, you know, got 2-3 horses, jumped some steers, and then he's running 30-40 on the ground. And like I said, I never once have I texted him and he's been like, oh yeah, you can come next week. He's like, we're steer wrestling today. Come on by.
Yeah. And so, yeah. Oh, today? No. I was thinking tomorrow, because today's tricky. I don't know about today.
Yeah. Yeah,
he's a monster. That's impressive. So what about the steer wrestlers, they're kind of a different group amongst themselves. They're just like overgrown bronc riders, it seems like. But what kind of support do you have in the steer wrestling community besides the assassin Cash Rob coming up?
Oh, it's that was the one deal. I've had my own steer wrestling horse, but it seems like a similar deal. I'm only getting the, I get him in and got him in May and rode him for 2 weeks and get to the rodeo, and he was kind of acting up in the box. And so it's one, the last 2 years, I've just quit. I don't even try to haul my own steer wrestling horse. I just, the circuit kid I go with, he's got a nice horse. He lets me ride him whenever. And then, like I said, a lot of those this last year in August, I mean, I just was entering and showing, looking on the trades list, and I've, every single one of them will let you hop on their horse, give you a haze. They just, like I said, they're the best group of guys there are out there to help you and want to see you go make a good run.
Yeah.
Speaking of the best group of guys, I want to kind of jump to the NFR real quick. This year, the NFR was a little different in the bull riding in general, watching at the Thomas and Mack. What was going on with the group of guys? What is it like emotionally when you kind of see all of that happening with the wrecks and the injuries and just continuing to get on?
It was, you know, it was fun. The NFR is always fun, but there was, it was kind of a whirlwind. You know, you come in there and Stetson's the guy to beat. You know, he's got me by 120,000. And I mean, I was at the circuit finals when he pulled the hamstring, but I mean, I'd talked to him since then, checked on him. He posted, he got on a practice bull there Thanksgiving weekend and looked really, really good. And so, you know, never once in anybody in my mind did I think that he was going to be out. And after seeing that first bull just one jumping and then him not being able to spur the Brock the next night was kind of was a red flag that something was wrong. And so then he's out, and that was kind of at that point, all of a sudden, but you could tell everybody in the locker room was like, hey, like, we've got a chance now.
Blood in the water.
Yeah. And that was, you know, I capitalized early. Like I said, I mean, it almost caught me. I got a little caught up in the hunt of trying to overtake Stetson. And then when all of a sudden Stetson was out, it was like, you know, I'd rode the first bull really good. And then I bucked off four in a row. And that was when, you know, Kai seized on the opportunity instantly and went to riding really good. And then the whole, we had the shooting deal and they moved it to the morning perf. Kai was in the hospital but it was one when he rolled out of that hospital and rolled in there and freaking, you know, you never know what's going to happen. It's one of them ones. I always say anybody can get on bulls hurt, but you have to be really tough to get on you to ride bulls hurt. And that was Kai. Like I said, it would have been nothing. Any one of those guys in the top 15 could have showed up and gone on. But what was so impressive about what he did was he left the hospital and then went and was 87 points and then rolls in the next night in the eliminator pen and makes one of the great, you know, very hard to ride bull and makes an outstanding bull ride and went, you know, only guy to stay on. I mean, that kind of, at that point, it kind of cinched it up for him. But it was really, really showed what he was made of for him to get whipped down like that and then through all the drama that went into it come in and make two dang good bull rides right after that. And you know, I tried to, you got to stay focused because similar deal, all what it took was another round for everybody else to fall. You know, there's, well, with the ground money count and there's a chance that any given day a guy could get out of there with 98,000. And you know, the second half of the NFR I rode really good and said ended up I think third in the average, second in the world. And so it was still a good week, but it was just that there was a lot of moving pieces, that's for sure.
168,000, good week, just saying.
Yeah. And it's one, you know, that's the last 3 years. It's, I think I was 220,000 in 21, 180,000 the next year and 162. So even after sitting there after 10 rounds, like you really want to be pissed that you won second, but when you see how much you won, it's like, I'm really going to try harder to win first next year, but it's not a bad 10 days.
As you're going through that, are you kind of peeking in your rearview mirrors or looking out the window and seeing what everybody else is doing? Or are you just trying to focus on Josh Frost and that's it?
It's one I'm aware of it. Like, but it's one, I'm very aware of what helps me and what hurts me. And so there's times that if you see, hey, you know, there's 14 guys that have bucked off. If I can ride this bull, I can win a bunch of money. There's times that's motivating. And then there's other times it can affect your performance. And so it's kind of a fine line of being aware and knowing the situation, because sometimes you can harness that and it helps me perform better. But there's other times if you start paying attention to too much what everybody else is doing, it makes it harder to do your job. And so it's I'm just very aware of how it makes me feel when I process the information, because at the end of the day, all I can do is ride my bull. And right. There's sometimes the information helps supercharge me and helps me be more focused to, you know, be locked into that zone. But there was a little bit of that this year at the NFR early on, that with now that all of a sudden Stetson was out, it was like my view started getting a little too big, and I wasn't locking in and just doing my job. And, you know, after 3-4 rounds, I got her tightened back up and went back to riding bulls. And that's when it's fun, is when you're just, you know, not worried about the money, not focusing on, you know, everybody's goal is to be the world champion, but you've got to make it your goal to ride every bull you get on. And when you can narrow that focus, that's when it gets easy. And that's honestly when it's the most fun, because you're not looking at anything else besides making the whistle and conquering the challenge of the bull you have drawn. And then you get done at the end of the week and look at your bank account. It's like, holy cow, they actually pay you when you stay on these things.
That worked out well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So outstanding. Well, I tell you what, I really appreciate your time here, as we all do at the NFR Extra podcast. And we wish you the best of luck for the rest of this year. And again, congratulations to you and your family on the new baby Frost, named to be soon released, coming. And we look forward to seeing you in Las Vegas come December time.
Awesome. It was great visiting with you guys.
You bet,
Josh.
Be safe, man.
You guys too. Bye.
Bye.
Want to experience more of the NFR? Then visit nfrexperience.com. And we invite you to subscribe to NFR Extra on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and wherever you're listening right now. If you like what you've heard on NFR Extra, we would love it if you gave us a 5-star rating and tell your friends how to subscribe.